Your Bibles this evening and turn with me to the book of Ezekiel. Book of Ezekiel and chapter 14. Last 3 weeks we've been looking at verses 9 and 10, which is dealing with the deceived prophets. That is, they had a heart that had been deceived. Man's heart deceives him. And man follows that heart. He follows its desires and its passions. And these prophets were no different. And the Lord said he allowed them to go on and follow the deception of their hearts. Our text says that I, the Lord, have deceived them. And as we saw from that study, we know that God does not tempt us to sin. He does not sin, and neither tempts he any man to sin. He can't be tempted. But these prophets were allowed to go on and to follow the desires and passions of the hearts, and in so doing, they just encourage the people to follow their deceived heart, to follow the desires and passions of their heart, which was to seek the prophets, but not to hear from the Lord, but to seek the prophets to speak smooth things unto them, things that were pleasing to them, things that were pleasing to their ears. This week we're going to look at something else in this chapter that we want to point out, and that is the good counsel. The good counsel. Before we get into that, let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Our dear gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that we can come into your house again this evening, that we can be in your presence, assembled together with the saints. And that constitutes this church here in Melbourne. A church gathers together. It is local and visible, carrying out the work of the Lord. Pray to Heavenly Father that you bless us tonight as we look into your word. Give us understanding of your word. Give me clarity of mind to speak the truth of your word, that we might all understand, that we might all heed it, obey it, walk in paths that are pleasing unto thee. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The good counsel. We find in this passage of Scripture some good counsel that has been given. We've referred to it several times since being in this 14th chapter. But look with me now at verse 6. Chapter 14 and verse 6. Therefore, say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, repent and turn yourselves from your idols and turn away your faces from all your abominations. The good counsel which is given is for his people to repent. For this people to repent. In so doing, they would prevent the judgment that was to fall upon them. He said, repent and turn yourselves from your idols. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah, in chapter 22, and look with me here. I want to read, well, verse 12. Verse 11 says, "Ye made also a ditch," reciting some things that they were guilty of, "between two walls for the water of the old pool. But ye have not looked unto the maker thereof, neither had respect unto him that fashioned it long ago." In other words, he's telling them, you did this, but you didn't even consider the Creator God. You didn't even consider the sovereign God of the universe. The one who made it all things. He said, the one who fashioned it long ago. Verse 12. "And in that day did the Lord God of hosts call to weeping and to mourning and to baldness and to girding with sackcloth." He called them to repentance. Those things mentioned there were signs of one who was repenting. He repented in sackcloth and ashes. He repented with weeping, with mourning. You see. He calls us to repent. Turn with me to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew. John the Baptist came on the scene. And he came on the scene preaching, repent. The Old Testament message was to the house of Israel, those who had disobeyed God, those who had wandered from God, those who were guilty of idolatry. As we see in the book of Ezekiel, the message was to repent and to turn away from. That was the message that John the Baptist came preaching in the New Testament. Chapter 3 and verse 2, verse 1 says, "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent ye." Look at verse 6. Verse 5 says, "Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the regions round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins." They were confessing their sins. They were saying about the same thing about their sins that God says about their sins. They hated their sins. They despised their sins. They were repenting of those sins. Look at verse 7. "But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism," they hadn't been there for the preaching, but because so many were thronging John and repenting of their sins and being baptized, these Pharisees and Sadducees didn't want anybody to get anything up on them, so they came to his baptism. They wanted to be baptized also. "And he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth, therefore, fruits meet for repentance." What was he talking about? He was talking about turning from their sins, turning from their pride and ego, following the desires and the passions of their hearts, following their idols, and turning unto God and the way of God. In the book of Mark, in chapter 1, we see that the Lord Jesus Christ Himself came on the scene preaching the gospel. It says in verse 14 of Mark chapter 1, "Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent ye and believe the gospel." Repent ye and believe the gospel, he said. He also preached to them in the book of Luke. The book of Luke in chapter 13. In verse 2, "And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Said the same thing down in verse 5. "I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." That is good counsel. Men need to repent. All sinners need to repent. Those who are not saved, unsaved sinners need to repent. Saved sinners need to repent of their sins. Turn with me to the book of Acts. One more on this thought of repent, the word repent. The book of Acts in chapter 3. And Peter and John had healed this lame man who expected he would get some gift from them. And they said, "Silver and gold have we none, but such as we have, that we give unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ, arise and walk." The man arose and walked. And there, well, to make a long record short, the Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes and the Jews, the good Jews, you know, they didn't like that. They wanted to know how this man was made to walk. And they were antagonists, causing an uproar over it. In verse 19, we have these words: "Repent ye therefore, and be converted." That word "converted" means, and be turned. Repent. True repentance involves a turning from a life of sin, a turning from following after those desires and those passions and everything that is evil and wicked, everything that is against God, and turning unto the things of God, living a new life in Christ Jesus. He said, "And be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." Wiped out. Praise God. To those who have repented, truly repented of their sins and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, their sins are blotted out. They're forgiven. They're wiped out. when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and surely to the one who has repented and been converted, turned from his sin, turned unto God, who has his sins forgiven. Oh, he experiences seasons of refreshing. Wonderful seasons of refreshing. Wonderful times of refreshing for the child of God, the one who has repented of his sins and trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this denotes, this repenting, as we've already touched on in this verse, Acts chapter 3 and verse 19, this repenting denotes not only forsaking them, not only repenting of those sins, but a total abhorrence of them. You see, that which we abhor, we tend to cast it off. We tend to shy away from it, stay away from it. We don't like it. We don't want anything to do with it. We turn from it, which is what our text is telling us. Repent and turn yourselves from your idols. In other words, hate your idols, and in hating your idols, you'll turn from them. Well, the one that is truly repentant despises his sin. He despises the life of sin that he lived before repentance and faith. And he despises even sin that finds creeping up in his life as a child of God. Don't you find that so? I do. We are to turn away because we despise them. Turn, the thought here in our text would be, turn away your faces from all your abominations. Remember these idols back in the 8th chapter. They were great abominations before the Lord. And we need to come to a place. You will not repent unless you come to a place that you see your sins as a great abomination before the Lord. And that's what he's telling them here in these verses. Turn with me to the book of 2 Kings. Second Kings in chapter 17. In this chapter, Hoshea is king of Israel. Wicked king. His ways did not please the Lord, as we know from the days of Jeroboam till the day they were carried away into captivity. Israel had not a good king to reign over them. And Hosea's ways were, the son of Elah, was wicked and evil and abominable. And the Lord God allowed the king of Assyria and the Assyrians to come in and to carry them away captive. To carry the Israelites away captive because of their great sin and forsaking him and not being obedient to him. And that's verse 9. And the children of Israel did secretly those things that were not right against the Lord their God. And they built them high places in all their cities, from the tower of the watchman to the fenced city. And they set them up images and groves in every high hill and under every green tree. And there they burnt incense in all the high places, as did the heathen whom the Lord carried away before them, and wrought wicked things to provoke the Lord to anger. For they served idols, whereof the Lord had said unto them, ye shall not do this thing. Yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all the prophets and by all the seers, saying, turn ye from your evil ways and keep my commandments and my statutes according to all the law which I commanded your fathers and which I sent to you by my servants, the prophets. The Lord God says here I encourage you, I told you to repent, I told you to turn from your evil ways. I sent my prophets, my messengers unto him. I sent them unto you early. I sent them unto you many times to repent, to turn, from your evil doings. And now the Lord is testifying against you. You heeded not. You did not repent, he tells them. And so Israel was carried away in the captivity. Several years, many years before Judah was carried away. Turn with me to the book of Jeremiah. The book of Jeremiah. And now we'll see concerning Judah. Well, let's begin with verse 1. The word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, the which Jeremiah, the prophet, spake unto all the people of Judah and to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, from the 13th year of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, even unto this day, that is the 23rd year, the word of the Lord hath come unto me, and I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but ye have not hearkened. And the Lord hath sent unto you all his servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened, nor inclined your ear to hear. What's he saying? You have not repented. You didn't turn. You didn't turn from your evil. You didn't turn from your wickedness. In verse 5, they said, this is what the prophet said. They said, turn ye again, now every one from his evil way and from the evil of your doings, and dwell in the land that the Lord hath given unto you and to your fathers forever and ever. And go not after other gods, to serve them and to worship them, and provoke me not to anger with the works of your hands, and I will do you no hurt. Yet ye have not hearkened unto me, saith the Lord, that ye might provoke me to anger with the works of your hands to your own hurt. They did not repent. They would not repent. They would not turn. And so as we're in the book of Ezekiel, God's judgment is falling upon them. But turn with me to the book of Proverbs. Book of Proverbs. In chapter 1. And look with me at verse 23. Turn you at my reproof. The word of the Lord is encouraging us to, when He reproves us, to turn. When He reproves us, to repent. To confess our sin before Him. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. You see, the Lord will speak good things to us. He'll forgive us our sin if we repent. He'll forgive us our sins and He'll do good things. He'll send forgiveness into us. He'll give us seasons of refreshing, times of great refreshing and joy and knowing the Lord and joy in knowing that our sins have been forgiven. We have repented of our sins. Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs chapter 28. Verse 13. Here's the other side. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. You see, those that confess their sins and forsakes them. He confesses them and he really and truly hates his sins. He despises his sins. And because he really and truly hates and despises his sins, he seeks to forsake them, to cast them behind him. And he has mercy with the Lord. I just thought of that verse in Ephesians, a lovely, lovely verse. Turn with me there to the book of Ephesians in chapter 2. In verse 4. You see, verses 1 through 3, verse 1 tells us that we've been made alive, but verses 2 and 3 really tell us what we were before. And verse 1, the last part of verse 1 says, we were dead. We were dead in trespasses and sin. And verses 2 and 3 just go on to describe how wicked and evil we were, what we were following after. Thank God for verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy. You see, He is rich in mercy to those who confess and forsake their sins. Why is He rich in mercy to us? For His great love wherewith He hath loved us. You see, we come to repentance. We come to an abhorrence of our sin. We come to a forsaking our sin and a trust in the Lord Jesus Christ because of God's great love for us. Because of His great love for us, He is merciful to us as well. We'll quit there tonight. And we'll leave the next point for next week. Next week we're going to, Lord willing,